Welcome TFL Pass subscribers to the December 1st, 2004 edition of TFL Audio. We are coming to you from TechSideline.com's headquarters in Radford, Virginia, just a short drive away from Blacksburg, and it is windy, so that ought to take you guys back to your days in the burg. We've got wind gusts of up to 40 miles an hour, according to the weatherman, so be glad you're not here. I want to welcome my guest to the show, Mr. Brian Knoll of Kane's Time. Brian, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing? It's good to be here, and looking forward to the game on Saturday.
I'm sure the weather down there is a lot nicer than it is up here. What's the weather like down there?
Oh, it's, typical South Miami. It's about 80, breezy, chance of rain. You can pretty much say that every day.
So a frigid day for you guys at only 80, huh?
Yeah. It'll be, there's a chance of rain on Saturday, but that happens pretty much every game in the Orange Bowl, it seems like.
Now, TechSideline.com fans who go way back might recognize your name. Those who have come onto the website just in the last few years won't recognize it. But you and I, in internet terms, actually go way back because we've known each other since about 1997. Founded HokieCentral.com in 1996, and then in 97 I decided to add a message board, and I had no idea how to go about that. And I don't remember how, Brian, but I remember somebody told me, said, "Well, you need to talk to Grassy." And for those of you who aren't familiar with Hurricane's internet history, at the time, Brian was running a website called Grassy.com that was dedicated to Miami Hurricane Athletics. And I always wondered why it was called Grassy, and then somebody said, "Well, you need to email him and ask him if he'll host a board for you." So I emailed Grassy at Grassy.com, and I get a response from Brian Knoll, and of course the joke there is Grassy Knoll. So how long, just to get on a little sidetrack there, how long has that nickname been going on?
Well, I mean, I'm 34. It's been going on about, I guess, half of my life. I'd say in high school some girl gave me the nickname of Grassy Knoll, and I'd never met her, actually. So it kind of stuck with friends. And when I started, I got on the Internet in 95, and the Internet was a baby. I figured, hey, I'll put up my little site here for Miami. We were kind of on downtimes, on probation. Nobody really cared about Miami, if you will. So when I started the site, I just named it Grassy.com, figuring it would be some, short, simple, easy to remember, and never envisioned it to be any kind of business. So that's how it started, and, in 96 we started early 96 we started the Miami site, and then shortly thereafter, people like yourself, we had a large East Carolina board that I helped host, and some people from Tulane. So just basically whoever needed help at the time, we tried to, we had a server that was pretty robust, and the same technology for whatever school, allowed you guys to do some customization for your colors, things like that, and off and running, and here we are now with completely different business models. But it was a good start, and it's hard to believe that was what I think we've done the Miami site about 8.5 years. So
yeah, it's amazing to realize that it's been that long. And back then, of course, I had HokieCentral.com, but then when you went to the message board, it was Grassy.com, and I remember it was /techboard.
Yeah,
that's where you went to access our only one message board. So some tech fans think it's strange that the same parent company owns the Saber and Tech Sideline, but back then fans used to go to the root, go to Grassy.com, and they'd freak out. They'd say, "Well, what are you doing getting a message board us by Miami site?"
Yeah, what's going on here? Yeah, it was definitely different at the time back then, because we had East Carolina had beaten Miami a couple of times, and they had a rivalry going, and they said the same thing. I was hosting one of their bigger boards, and if they went to the root, just to Grassy.com, they see all this orange and green, and they're like, what's going on? So
the internet does make strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
Tell you what, let's move on to the game. Got a few topics I want to talk to you about. First of all, I just went down the Virginia Tech injury situation, and I've seen headlines and lead-ins and things like that, Brian, on the Canes injury situation. What can you tell me about that? Bring me up to date on who's out and who's in.
Well, as far as, we have, left tackle problems also. Eric Winston, he's been gone for the year for a while. I don't know if that's known to Hokie fans. I'm sure a lot of them know that. But as far as current players that are, maybe / probables, our tight end, Greg Olson, is doubtful. He's had a broken wrist and has been playing, and he suffered a setback that, I don't know if he re-injured the same wrist, but he's basically doubtful. He did not practice yesterday. The only other significant injury is Antonio Thomas, defensive tackle, who's been out for a number of games. He is probable. He's probably not going to play a whole lot. Coach Coker's talked about, getting him in between, 10 and 20 plays, but he's very good at run stuffing, and anything we can get him in will be a bonus. So I think that's kind of the way they're treating it. He practiced yesterday, and He'll practice again today. Yesterday was the last day in pads, and he looked pretty good. So I would say those are the two major injuries. Everybody else, we did have a rare Thanksgiving bye week, so I think guys will be any of the bumps and bruises from the Wake Forest game or, you know, Virginia prior to that, which should be healed by now. And I don't think that there's any other significant injuries out there, just those two main players that Olsen's probably a very doubtful, and Thomas is a probable.
All right, well, let me ask you, with Jimmy Martin probably being out or being somewhat ineffective at left tackle for Virginia Tech, what does Miami have at right defensive end? Who are they bringing? Who are they going to bring? And then how good is the guy?
Well, I mean, Miami this year, I mean, defensive line has not been as strong as, you know, on paper. There was a lot of talk preseason, but they're deep. Just we don't have a, one main guy that's going to play a lot. That's probably a big name. We've got Javon Nanton, who's more of a pass rusher, smaller guy. You know, he had 8 sacks last year. He's not had those numbers this year. Thomas Carroll is, you know, he's the starter. You'll see him. But I think you'll see a lot of rotation and, possibly even, a Will linebacker coming from that side. You know, I think it'll depend on how, you know, your left tackle moves, how it looks early in the game. But I would say you'd see a combination of a Thomas Carroll and Javon Nanton coming off that side. And Nanton is, he's a smaller guy, but he's extremely quick. So that might be a test if you're talking about Martin having a high ankle sprain and those, you know, mobility is the first issue there. So, Nanton would probably be someone that can give him some fits. So we'll see what happens. But a combination of those two are who he's going to be facing.
Yeah, I think what you'll see is, the Hokies have been playing a lot of two tight end sets this year with no fullback. So they do that to spread out the defense and make the defense line up honestly and see what they're going to do. So I think what you'll see is you'll continue to see the two tight end sets, and Virginia Tech also tends to keep the running back in to help pick up blitzes. That wasn't going well early in the year, but it's happened really well later in the year and in more recent games. Let me ask you, Alanis Morissette, if I'm getting my pop culture references correct, would love this because it is so ironic that Virginia Tech and Miami are basically playing the ACC championship game. How much hype is there down there in Miami? How excited are the fans? I mean, is this anything they're getting worked up about given that they've won, 60 bazillion national championships?
I don't think there's excitement because it's the ACC, chance to go, win the inaugural ACC. I think a lot of them, thought we would be pretty solid. We had a really good shot at this year. I just think it's more of an excitement for Virginia Tech than it is ACC. And no disrespect to the ACC, but I just think it's all about, the light at the end of the tunnel. They want to go to the BCS, they want to win titles, whether they're transferred to the Big 12. I don't think they would really care about any Big 12 title games. They just want to get to the BCS. So I think there is excitement. I think there'll be a good crowd on Saturday. It's, a disappointing game day couldn't be there, but I understand with the other official conference title games. But I think there is excitement more for, just the Hokies being in town and, a shot at the Sugar Bowl, especially since, second place looks like the Peach Bowl, which I don't think either of us are, real fond of going. Chance between the Sugar Bowl and the Peach Bowl, obviously, there's a lot of incentive to get to that Sugar Bowl.
Well, I'll tell you what, from the Virginia Tech end of things, I was actually talking to somebody this morning who's making his travel plans for both games, and he said, hey, it's not going to break my heart if we don't go to the Sugar Bowl. We haven't been to Atlanta in 20 years, and I really like it. So actually, from the Virginia Tech standpoint, it's a little different. They're excited about either one.
Yeah, I'm just relatively speaking, I mean, obviously, they'd probably rather take on an undefeated Auburn in a real high-profile game. It's the only game on the third and the eve of the title game. All America will be watching. And the Peach Bowl, it could be a lot worse. I mean, obviously playing Ron Zook in his last game, the Gators will bring a lot of people up to Atlanta. So
yeah,
that'll also be, it could be a lot worse. You're right.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff, how differently they view the game. And, of course, I think Tech fans are more interested in it because it is the opportunity to play Florida. And, Virginia Tech hasn't played Florida since the 80s. Let's move on. Let me ask you about Brock Berlin. Last year, Brian, in the game in Lane Stadium, the key was getting a lot of pressure on Berlin, and he really played poorly. He played chuck and duck and turned the ball over a lot and didn't inspire a lot of confidence. Now this year, if I've got my stats correct, I see he's got something like 21 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Is he... I think there's a lot of people out there laboring under the assumption that, you know, what they did last year could put pressure on him, that he'll turn the ball over a lot. Is he better this year? I mean, give me an estimation of his play and then how much of a leader he is and how important he is.
Well, I think he's dramatically improved. And if you saw him last year, obviously in Lane Stadium was probably the bottom of the barrel. He definitely struggled there. But, you know, he finished the year with a -5 turnover ratio. I mean, 17 picks and only 12 touchdowns. I mean, it's Miami running a pro-style offense. It's, you know, obviously that's going to hurt. So the turnaround this year, I think, is, you know, attributed largely to him. It's not as if we have a dramatically improved offensive line. You could even argue the opposite. You know, it's been a makeshift line with some injuries and guys shifting around, and they're not real strong compared to, say, Dorsey in 2001 had one of the best lines, you know, certainly at Miami and in college football recently. So I think he's weathered the criticism. You know, the fans, the spring game was embarrassing. I mean, we have, you know, the spring game is, quote-unquote, your own hardcore fans coming in. They were even booing them there. I mean, Miami's a tough place. I've always said it takes a special kind of player to go in there because you don't just have to be talented. You have to put up with the expectations. I mean, losing is unacceptable, and not winning by enough is even frowned upon. It's crazy. So,
well, yeah, from that standpoint, it's like a pro franchise, like playing for the Lakers or something like that.
Yeah, they do well with the pros because they come in, you know, obviously the level of play is much greater, but the intensity, just through the media, I mean, you talk to the players and the criticism, and, you know, Coker, I think a lot of fans outside of Miami would be surprised if you show up at a Miami tailgate or, you know, hang out in the Orange Bowl, and, you know, his approval rating is probably much lower than a lot of people would expect at being, you know, 43-5 in his tenure or something like that. So, I mean, they want, you know, it is tough. It's a really tough town that, you know, if you win, that's fine. The next time you better win by more or something like that. And I think Brock has just done great. He's really taken it in. He's just said, hey, you know, it's, he's taken it and kind of fueled it to get better. And he's done well this year. The main goal was to just play efficient. Don't try and do everything yourself and, you know, use your weapons. He's got a very young wide receiver core. He's got Frank Gore coming back who's not 100%. So I think, honestly, where the offense is, especially lately, you know, we've played pretty well, I give him a lot of credit. So I think it is definitely more of what he's done rather than, say, you know, people not getting pressure on him or playing bad defenses, things like that. So,
yeah, okay. Well, you know, let me ask you, what do you see as the key matchups on Saturday? You know, what are going to be the keys for Miami's success against Virginia Tech?
Well, I think, you can overanalyze it all day long. I think if you break it down in the simplest terms, I think it'll, for Miami's standpoint, it'll be very similar to Wake Forest. I think it'll be a glorified Wake Forest. Virginia Tech is obviously a better team, but I think they have similar MOs. You know, Wake Forest wanted to shorten the game, run the ball, keep it close. I think, if I'm right, I think they had played 9 games before the Miami game, and every single game they had led or been tied in the last couple of minutes. And
yeah, they've had a whole season like that that they haven't finished well. Yeah.
So, you know, Miami was able to come out, score early, get on them, and take them out of that, you know, run the ball, run the ball. If Virginia Tech is able to get some scores early, either keep it tied or, you know, keep a lead, and they're able to run the ball, then, you know, I think they have a very good shot. If Miami can get a lead, and like you said, playing the 2 tight end, you know, keeping the back end, if they're forced to throw the ball, all of a sudden Martin is not as, you know, as mobile, and Miami's able to contain Randall, then, you know, I think Miami has a good shot. So, you know, that to me is the key, is basically who gets a good start. You know, I think if Virginia Tech does and is able to continue to run the ball, shorten the game, Miami's going to be in trouble, and vice versa, if Miami can get up and kind of open that offense up, Virginia Tech being forced to throw the ball, we'll just have to see. Miami, you know, should be in a better situation that way.
Well, for Virginia Tech, one of the keys in the UVA game was that their offense did not, Virginia Tech's offense did not play well in the first half. They were getting handled at the line of scrimmage, but the defense was able to keep it scoreless at halftime, so the Tech offense was able to be very patient and then take advantage of the opportunities that presented themselves in the second half. So that's absolutely true. You know, having said that, if Brock Bruin is a lot improved, so is Brian Randall. The light bulb seems to have gone on for him in the last 6 or 7 games. He's last 6 games, Brian, he's got 12 touchdowns and 1 interception. But more than that, you can see his confidence in the pocket. He's progressing through his reads. He's going to second and third options and really has become more of a complete quarterback. So if the Canes get up 14-0, 10-0, something like that. It doesn't necessarily spell doom for the Hokies, but they do have to keep it within two scores, and this team has been really good about being cool if they can keep it within two scores and just taking their time and being patient.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, let's throw out there the name that you think Brent Musburger will mispronounce the most.
It's hard to say. The announcers, even not just him, but all of college football, anytime I get a chance to watch a game, either after I get back from a Miami game or something, it seems like all the announcers are mashing them. It's hard to say. I mean, it's just some of these guys are told like an hour before kickoff what teams they're going to be covering, and they're always mixing it up. I don't know. I mean, we don't have any really, really hard names that, you know, he should mess up, but, I agree that these characters are, they always seem to have, it's not necessarily getting the name wrong, it's a matter of, calling a certain jersey number a completely different player. That seems to be...
Well, right. I love it when they get the teams mixed up, when that guy, number 45 from Miami, makes a tackle, and they give you the Virginia Tech players.
Right. Yeah, you can see he's got the card in front of him, and he reads off the wrong column
something. Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, appreciate you being on, Brian. We're approaching about 20 minutes here, which is my attention span. I don't think it's the attention span of my listeners, but so I appreciate you being on, and I know you got an appointment you need to get to, and... Hopefully we'll have a good game on Saturday, and we'll come out with no major injuries from it, and put on a good show for the ACC and ABC and the nation.
That's right. Good luck to you guys. Travel safe, and we'll see you Saturday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Okay. Take care.
And that will do it for this edition of TSL Audio, and thank you very much for listening, folks, and there will be more coming soon.